safe place, part of the Cherry Bomb series, by Veto Power Over Clocks. Fandom, Skate the Infinity. The category is Gen, and the rating is Gen, and there's no archive warnings that apply. Additional tags include from pre-canon to a bit after canon. I grabbed Cherry's fangirls, gave them names and personalities, and threw them into this. No beta, we die like the dinosaurs in Prince of Tennis. This fic has everything. Softness and nonsense and silliness and melancholy. And, of course, it covers episode 9. Summary. So, who let a 12-year-old come to S? Yumi-chan says. Bad parents. Kotori-chan replies. Or, Cherry's fangirls look at the loose 13-year-old at S and decide that someone has to be a responsible adult in his life. They aren't qualified for the job. Author's notes. I spend 10 to 12 episodes of this show complaining that all the parents in this show, but especially Mia's, were fucking useless. Sure, they had good intentions, but they were useless. Their kids just left in the middle of the night to participate in an illegal skating race where they could end up seriously injured, and their parents either didn't notice or didn't ask. Useless. I also looked at Cherry's fangirls and said, they look like they have Ita bags dedicated to him. The fic I meant to write, based on that, is still running around in my head. Anyway, I grabbed this one screenshot and used it to build this fic. There are probably more fangirls, but for the sake of my creativity, let's stick to these 5. Reader's notes. We're recording this as a relay podfic for Voice Team 2025. Each of us will record a separate chapter and be posting them over the course of the next week or so. Thanks to Vito for giving permission to Podfic. We hope you enjoy. Chapter 1, read by Daisy Diversions. It's Fuchan who points it out, because Fuchan has a habit of pointing things out. She's always the first to notice when Cherry-sama gets a haircut, and the one that remembers exactly how many days it's been since Cherry-sama and Joe argued. Fuchan is also someone that says, it's raining. When it's pouring, or are you sad? When someone's crying, and we've been here for hours. When yes, they have been at us for hours. Misaki tunes her out half the time because her eyes work perfectly and she doesn't need people pointing out the obvious. Except sometimes she does need someone to point things out because it confirms that she isn't hallucinating. Like tonight. A kid stands at the starting line. Not a kid in the way Kotori-chan is a kid because she's 16, or the way some people call Misaki a kid because she's 19, but an actual kid. He's tiny next to the skater he's about to race. That's a child, Fuchan says, looking up at the boy on the screen. I think I've seen him somewhere before, Yukato-chan says, slowly tilting her head. Of course you have, Kotori-chan says. He's been in the news. Oh, Fu-chan claps once and keeps her palms together. Kitamen Mia! Mizuki has no idea who that is. Next to her, Yumi-chan raises a hand and says, Is he famous? Thus saving Mizuki from embarrassing herself with the question. Fu-chan nods. Kotori-chan, however, looks hesitant. He's a candidate for the national team. That makes him famous in some circles. The international skateboarding national team, Fu-chan pipes up. Yes, thank you, Fu-chan, Kotori-chan says dryly. Fu-chan beams. The beef starts. The boy might be fast, yes, but he's still, well, a boy. Mizuki watches his hoodie's cattail trailing in the air after him and tries not to think of how small he looks. How old is he? Yumi-chan asks, her eyes on the race. Utako-chan takes out her phone and taps at the screen. He'll be 13 in February. So he's 12, Fu-chan says. Your brother is 12, isn't he, Mitsuki-chan? Mitsuki crosses her arms over her chest and nods. Who let a 12-year-old come to S? Yumi-chan says. Bad parents, Kotori-chan replies. All five of them exchange a look. On the screen, Mia's rapidly approaching the factory, his opponent far behind. He's skinny, and it makes Mitsuki think of sneaking candy bars into her backpack during long car rides because her brother's always hungry. Mitsuki's skirt has pockets. There's a ton of mints in one of them, and she plays with it while she watches the competition. The beef was boring. The guy he raced wasn't better than a rookie. Hadn't he been skating for years? What had made him think he could win? He didn't even qualify as a slime. But Mia had yet to bother thinking of what was below that. Before today, he hadn't imagined that something so low on the scale would dare defy him. Mia huffed and looked around. Nothing else to do here tonight. He's taking out his phone when a group of people approaching him catches his attention. They're an easily recognizable lot, what with their white, black, and purple color scheme. They're also oddly silent. He's always seen them screeching. He didn't know they were capable of keeping their mouths shut. They all freeze when he looks at them directly. He stares at them. They keep their eyes on him. Mia doesn't know why, but he can't be the first to blink. He feels it in his gut. He wins the staring contest. The first one to move is a girl with long hair and nothing remarkable. The others have cherry blossoms on their clothes or a fancy blouse, but this one seems to have settled for showing up. That was really cool, the girl says, gesturing around the factory. Another one of the girls, this one wearing a cherry blossom hairpin, covers her face with her hand and mutters, Utako-chan. It wasn't that cool. A third girl, one with short hair and a rather distant look in her eyes, says simply, Mia bristles, and the remaining girls either cringe or faceplum. His opponent was bad. Short-haired girl continued, unaware of the reaction of her words. Thank you, Fu-chan, hairpin girl says dryly. You're welcome, short-haired Fu-chan says, smiling. The two girls that haven't said a word yet exchange looks, and a silent conversation seems to happen between them. The one wearing a beret gestures with her head towards Mia. The one with glasses sighs and turns towards him. I'm sorry. I'm afraid we didn't make a very good first impression, Glasses Girl says, offering him a small smile. Huh, what do you want? Mia says, crossing his arms in front of his chest. He lowers them a second later, because he was told that people do that to protect themselves, and he has nothing to protect himself from. He can't show weakness here. Nothing, Glasses Girl says, shaking her head. We only want to congratulate you on your win. Okay. Silence. Beret Girl clears her throat and starts digging through her skirt's pockets. She takes out a small tin and shakes it. Want a mint? She says. Yes, please, Short Hair Fu-chan says. No, thanks, Mia says at the same time. All right, Beret Girl hands the tin to Short Hair Fu-chan and turns her attention back to Mia. The beef itself was boring, that's true, she says, twisting her mouth. But you were really cool. Mia frowns and finds himself leaning back. Why are these girls talking to him? Shouldn't they be bothering Cherry Blossom? That's what they're here for, right? Yeah, I was, Mia says, taking a step back. He is relieved to see that they don't try to get closer. He decides to leave before they come up with another awkward attempt at conversation. That could have gone better, Utako says after Mia has left. Sorry, girls. It's not your fault, Yumi-chan says, patting her shoulder. Mitsuki-chan nods and takes off her beret to start spinning it with her hands. We should have planned beforehand what we were going to say. Maybe it's because we're strangers? Katori-chan says. I'd be freaked out if five grown-ups came up to me out of nowhere. You aren't a grown-up, Fu-chan says. Utako and Mitsuki-chan choke on a laugh, while Yumi-chan disguises her own as a coughing fit. Kotori-chan's glare would have made a lesser woman die, but Fu-chan has proven several times that she's immune to embarrassment. Frankly, no one should join a fan club if they have the ability to feel shame. But Kotori-chan has yet to get the memo. It might be because she's 16 and thus still insufferable. Kotori-chan has a point, though, Yumi-chan says. Yeah, we're strangers to him, Mitsuki-chan says, putting on her beret again. Then we should introduce ourselves to him next time, Fu-chan says. Kotori-chan opens her mouth, undoubtedly to say something not very nice, so Utako is quick to cut her off before she can start. It might not do much, but we don't lose anything by trying, right? The others nod. Kotori-chan pouts, and Fu-chan offers her the mints. Cherry Blossom's fan club is there again the next time Mia goes to S. He sees them coming towards him, led by Beret Girl, but they get distracted when Cherry Blossom passes next to them. The change in disposition is shocking. One second, these girls could be mistaken for belonging to some elite school with an odd uniform. The next, they're all shrieking and throwing compliments at this man that won't deign to spare them a look. Hairpin is the one that makes Mia blink, because the blushing schoolgirl skipping in her spot doesn't match the prickly teenager he interacted with a couple of weeks earlier. And then Cherry Blossom is out of sight, and all of these girls go back to being normal people. It's mildly terrifying, especially when they turn their attention back to him. The interaction isn't any less awkward this time around, but it's mercifully shorter. They just tell him their names. Beret Girl, it's Misuki-san. Glasses Girl is Yumi-san. Short hair, he already knew, but she confirms as Fu-san. Hairpin is Kotori-san. The unremarkable one is Utako-san. The information is relayed in less than 20 seconds, and then the girls are off, with Mitsuki-san shouting instructions about viewing spots, cameras, acceptable behavior, and an ER fund. She doesn't seem to be the oldest or the most responsible of the group, but the others clearly acknowledge her as their leader. If they were characters in a game, the beret would be enough to mark her as the head slime. They probably attack using cherry blossom petals. He laughs to himself at the mental image of these girls as a mini boss in a game. Then he has to jump out of the way. Joe's fangirls run past him, yelling about viewing spots, cameras, acceptable behavior, and an ER fund. Mia looks up at the projector on the mountainside. Judging by his interactions with the fan clubs, he's not surprised to see that tonight's first beef is between Cherry Blossom and Joe. Will he have to deal with that sort of stuff when he's older? Scary. They were too much. Mitsuki's aware of it. Five women approaching a kid out of nowhere? Yeah, that's not normal. They failed the fan club's don't be creepy rule. He tells them all to pull away so the kid can feel at ease. They can keep an eye on him from afar, and that's what they do. Mitsuki has been coming to S since she was 16, so she knows a thing or two about how to exist there. She knows how to get attention and how to avoid it. She knows how to be seen, and she's an expert at being ignored. She knows that without her beret and sweatshirt, she's just another girl among the dozens. When she doesn't want to be noticed, she keeps the recognizable items in a bag and walks around with her head low and her hair loose, and she gets to take a good look around. Miyumi from Joe's fan club joins her sometimes, and together they try to find good viewing spots and see which of the capped men aren't doing their jobs as they should. During those walks, they also review a general script for the club's next scheduled confrontation and ground rules for the inevitable spontaneous ones that happen all the time. She's in jeans and a t-shirt, waiting for Miyumi at the entrance to S when she sees Mia arrive in a car. He's in the back seat, staring out the window with an expression of such utter boredom. It makes Misaki want to yawn. He seems to startle when he notices her, but the car keeps going and takes them out of each other's sight. It looked shady as fuck, frankly. She's still thinking about it when Miyuki shows up. She's in jeans and a hoodie. "You have your thinking face on," Miyuki says instead of greeting. "What the hell?" she adds in English, reading off Misaki's t-shirt and laughing. Misaki rolls her eyes. "Nothing, probably." Miyuki hums. "You sure?"
"Yeah."
For a second, it looks like Miyuki will probe, but then she shrugs and says, "All right." She clicks her tongue. "I want your opinion on a girl." "I'm not helping you cheat on Fuchan," Misaki jokes, relaxing. "You know I wouldn't," Miyuki says, looking as besotted as the first day. Misaki pretends her stomach doesn't churn and hopes that when they get married, or whatever, they'll give her a place of honor at the celebration for bringing them together. "No, this girl says she wants to join our fan club." Misaki lets go of her best friend thoughts and enters her fan club leader mindset as best as she can. "Tell me about her." She doesn't stop thinking about Mia. It's weird to think that Cherry Blossom's fangirls sometimes aren't Cherry Blossom's fangirls, that they can blend in with the rest of the world. Misaki-san was just standing there, silent and normal, dressed in a black t-shirt, and if it wasn't because of the text on it that was pink, Mia might not have linked the young woman looking around expectantly to the girl in a beret he's seen running and screaming so many times before. A random battle when Mia was expecting the usual type of NPC. She passes next to him later that night and hesitates when their eyes meet. She stops and smiles, tentative and warm. "Hi," she says with a little wave. There's a large bruise on her forearm. Mia narrows his eyes and doesn't answer. Misaki-san exhales heavily and looks around awkwardly. "Good to see you." Mia narrows his eyes further and squares his shoulders. Misaki-san puts her hands in her pockets and removes them immediately, muttering a curse word. She digs in one of her pockets again and takes out a Kit Kat. She studies it and offers it to Mia. "Do you want some candy in terrible condition?"
"No."
"All right, that's fair." She opens the bar and grimaces at what she sees. "See ya," she says. She walks away while licking melted chocolate off her fingers. Mia makes a disgusted face and heads in the opposite direction. For reasons that have never been explained, Adam holds a Valentine's Day event every February 14th. There isn't much to it, other than the winner of each beef getting very expensive chocolate as a reward. Utako-chan looked up the brand last year, and all of them sighed dreamily over the pictures of the various products. "Should we get something like this for Cherry-sama?" Kotori-chan said then, still new enough not to understand how the fan club worked. "No!" Misaki-chan shook her head furiously. "Too expensive, and he won't eat them." Yumi knew that Misaki-chan was running the numbers in her head at that moment. So this year, like the previous three, they all contributed a set amount to buy Cherry-sama a sealed box of chocolates. Out of her own pocket, Misaki-chan buys flowers for Joe, just as she did her previous years at S. Unlike the previous years, though, this year, Misaki-chan hands Yumi the flowers, waggling her eyebrows, and tasks her with the delivery, leading the others to give Cherry-sama the chocolates. Yumi's headed Joe's way when she becomes aware of the boy walking next to her, watching her curiously. "Hi, Mia," Yumi says, looking at him. He startles, like he really believed she wouldn't see him. Naive, when he's dressed in bright green and seems to have done nothing but grow since the day they met. Or maybe this is another element for all of them to worry about, like the fact that he's at S instead of safe at home, or that some mysterious car brings him to Crazy Rock. "Why do you have flowers?" Mia asks. "There, it's for Joe," Yumi says. Mia tilts his head, seems to try to process the information, and inevitably fails. "Why are you giving him flowers?" Yumi shrugs. "It's a tradition Mitsuki has. She says it's because being Cherry-sama's fan wouldn't be half as fun without Joe around. Also, Joe's a chef, and his white day gifts are to die for." Misaki-chan cried shamelessly over last year's truffles. "Why not chocolate?" Mia asks. "I don't know." She's never given an explanation, and Yumi gave up on getting one. "I think Misaki-chan just likes flowers." Mia follows Yumi all the way to where Joe is and watches her give him the flowers. She smiles at Joe and ogles him openly. Under the critical looks and outraged sputtering of Joe's fan club. After a year of this, they should be used to Yumi's flirting, but it seems like they won't accept that she shares their ability to appreciate this man's abs and pecs, and his arms, and his back muscles. "There's a lot to appreciate," is what Yumi's saying. As for the man himself, he has been flirting back since the day Yumi told him her age. "Do you mind if I take one?" Yumi asks, toying with one of the flowers in the bouquet. "Not at all," Joe says, letting her steal a pink rose. "Thank you," Yumi says, tapping the rose to her cheek and winking at Joe before turning around and leaving. Mia trails after her. "I thought you liked cherry blossom," he says, sounding confused and looking weirded out. "I do, but I never dare to flirt with Cherry-sama." Understandably, that makes Mia look even more bemused. When they join the rest of the girls, they find that Misaki-chan folding the chocolate box they got for Cherry-sama. "Another year, another rejection," she says, sighing dramatically, but looking largely unaffected. Kotori-chan, on the other hand, looks heartbroken. Fuchan is patting her shoulder. "He doesn't take your chocolate?" Mia asks. "Nope, never," Misaki-chan says, at the same time that Kotari-chan says, "No." With the amount of angst that you only achieve when you're a teenager with a crush. "Huh, but it's chocolate," Mia says, looking at the box. "It is," Fuchan says, "and it's delicious." Mia keeps looking at the box. Misaki-chan looks pensive for a moment and offers it to Mia. "You want them?" Mia bristles. "Huh, I'm not taking cherry blossoms trash."
"It's not trash, it's good chocolate,"
Fuchan protests. Misaki-chan laughs. "Come on, Mia. If you don't take it, we'll eat it." She shakes the box. After a moment of hesitation, Mia snatches it out of her hands and takes a step back. "Don't expect anything on White Day." "We wouldn't dream of it. Don't worry," Misaki-chan says. Mia runs with his prize, and Misaki-chan smiles at him. "You're too soft on kids," Kotari-chan grumbles. "Now we don't have chocolate." Misaki-chan makes a face. "Sorry." Mia was given chocolates by a couple of his classmates, but he had to hand them over to his parents so they wouldn't ruin his diet. He doesn't know what they did with them. They might have thrown them away. He goes and messes everything up anyway by accepting the ones that Cherry Blossom's fangirls offered. They weren't even for him. What had he been thinking? He tentatively opens the box on the ride back home from S and marvels at the assorted chocolates, prettily organized by flavor in 5 neat rows. He samples one of each, mentally ranking them. They're all delicious, even the spicy one that initially makes him scrunch up his face. He carries the small heart-shaped box in his backpack the whole week to ensure that his mom won't find out, and tries not to eat everything at once. Despite his self-restraint, he's out of chocolates by the time his birthday arrives. Part of him hopes that Cherry Blossom's fan club is somehow aware of his birthday and will give him more chocolates the next time they see him as a late birthday present. He's uncomfortably expectant on the next S night, but the girls only wave at him from afar and go back to running after Cherry Blossom. They could have at least asked him if he liked the chocolates. He should have known they didn't care. He just happened to be there a couple of times. That was why they talked to him. And they'd outright said that he had to take the chocolates because their intended recipient rejected them. He made a mistake in accepting them, in wasting his time with slimes. He has to keep them away from him so they don't ruin his diet again. Next time, they might ruin something bigger, harder to fix. He challenges them to a beef. "If I win, none of you will talk to me unless I talk to you first," Mia says, looking at them down his nose. The girls exchange looks.
"What if we win?" Fu-san says.
"That's not happening," Kotori-san says. Utako-san nods in agreement, Misaki-san grimaces and scratches the back of her neck. Yumi-san inhales heavily. If that happens, I'll owe you each a favor, Mia says. Fu-san looks pensive. We don't stand a chance, Kotori-san says.
Yeah, that's true, but we've never raced here, Fu-san muses.
None of us has ever raced, Yumi-san points out. Misaki-san clears her throat. Not on a skateboard, at least. None of us can skate, Kotori-san throws her hands in the air. Yumi-san opens her mouth. What you do doesn't count.
She can roll around on a skateboard. That's skating, isn't it?
Fu-san says. Misaki-san snorts. Girls, you can't really be considering this. Kotori-san covers her face with her hands. It'll be embarrassing. Yumi-san smiles.
I think it'll be fun.
Kotori-san peeks through her fingers and whines. We'll humiliate Cherry-sama. Half the time, I'm not even sure he remembers we exist. Misaki-san's voice is too light and amused for what she is saying. And come on, Joe's fangirls haven't had the honor of raising a pro. This will get a point over them, she grins. We already have the ultimate point over them, Yumi-san says, smirking, and Misaki-san high-fives her. Mia really needs to stay away from these girls. I don't want to have anything to do with this, Kotori-san says, stepping away and covering her face again. Misaki-san shrugs. Suit yourself. She turns towards the others. Okay, Yumi-chan, you're skating?
Yeah.
Anyone else want to leave? This is your chance. The other two girls shake their heads. Mia doesn't know where they get a skateboard. Yumi-san can stand on it, but it's easy to see she doesn't know how to do much more than going back and forth on it. She hands over her glasses to Misaki-san and squints slightly at her surroundings. It's an extremely easy win. Mia crossing the finish line long before Yumi-san has even reached the course's halfway point. Kotori-san is waiting at the factory with her face in her hands and mumbling something. The tips of her ears are bright red. Cherry Blossom and Joe are at the factory as well, and Joe's mocking Cherry Blossom for his fans' hubris. Meanwhile, Joe's fangirls are watching Yumi-san on their phones. Suddenly, they burst out laughing. Mia takes out his phone to see what exactly Yumi-san could have done that's worse than what she's already done. Namely, worse than going at a snail's pace and screaming about not knowing how to turn a corner while going downhill, which had forced Misaki-san to run and try to stop her from crashing. He blinks at the screen. Yumi-san is sitting on the skateboard, trying to keep her huge skirt from dragging on the ground by holding the hems tightly between her knees. Thankfully, she's wearing tights. Yutako-san and Fu-san are each holding one of her hands and pulling. Misaki-san is behind her, pushing the board, her sweatshirt tied around her waist. Everybody around them is pointing and laughing. At the factory, a couple of Joe's fangirls are wheezing so hard They're crying.
I'm leaving the fan club,
Kotori-san is saying loudly, pacing and pulling at her hair.
I'm forming my own. I'm kicking them out of the current one.
She makes a series of frustrated shrieking noises.
I don't know any of them anymore. Forgive me, Cherry-sama.
She wails, but she never leaves. She stays in the factory, waiting until the rest of the girls finally get there after far too much time. Mia should go home, but he wants to gloat. He wants to mock these girls for taking up a challenge they couldn't possibly win, for daring to go against the hero. When the girls arrive, they stop at the entrance so Yumi-san can stand on the skateboard and enter the factory on her own. She makes a show of dusting off her skirt and putting on her glasses first, and even bows before pushing herself forward and crossing the finish line 20 minutes after Mia did. People stopped laughing long ago, and even Kotori-san's embarrassment grew quiet after a while. Mia can't find it in himself to laugh, because there's something about the way Yumi-san smiles as she jumps off the board that makes him envious. Yumi-san turns towards Cherry Blossom and waves excitedly at him. He only stares, looking like he'd rather be anywhere else. Next to him, Joe looks like he's having the time of his life, and he even waves back at Yumi-san. It gets him an outraged look from his own fan club. Yumi-san blows him a kiss. No fraternizing with the enemy, Misaki-san yells from the factory's entrance, where she is using her beret to vigorously fan Utako-san and Fu-san, who are lying and sitting on the floor respectively. They're panting and sweating, their cheeks flushed and their hair sticking to their foreheads, but they look happy. Mia is the one who should be happy. But instead, he feels uncomfortable, untethered. He doesn't even feel smug. What's the fun in beating a slime? Especially one that clearly never took the competition seriously. One that accepted the challenge just because it'd be fun. The girls embarrassed themselves, but they're the ones laughing now. Even Kotori-san has stopped her meltdown and is being dragged into a group hug by Utako-san. Kotori-san is still complaining, but this time it's about how the other girls stink. Misaki-san turns towards Mia and smiles at him. She is the only one that doesn't look exhausted, but her face is red and wet too. She takes out her phone, speaks into it, and approaches him. Mia scowls, and she mimics zipping her mouth shut. She holds out her phone and presses play on an audio file. Congratulations on winning. Misaki-san's voice comes from her phone speaker. I know we can't talk to you now, but I wanted to say that. The audio file stops. Misaki-san puts her phone away and bows before returning to her friends, two of which are now busy arguing with Joe's fan club. Yumi-san is talking to Joe, and Kotori-san seems to be apologizing to Cherry Blossom. Mia feels lonely. They may not be able to talk to Mia, but Cherry Blossom's fangirls find ways to work around that. Mostly, they wave at him, smile at him, and speak around him instead of to him. "Did you see how cool Mia was tonight?" Yumi says to Misaki-san when Mia passes next to them. He makes a face at them that they don't seem to notice. "Extremely, but I worry he may not be sleeping enough," Misaki-san answers. "He's growing. He needs his rest." Every time Misaki-san says something about Mia, she brings up his well-being or his happiness. It's odd and overbearing, and he didn't think she'd offer him so much after he did what he did to keep her and the others away from him. There's no event for White Day, so there's no going to Crazy Rock that night. On the next S night, however, Mia asks the driver to stop at a supermarket on the way to the mine and buys a bag of mini marshmallows. He was taught to always pay back his debts, to be polite, because you never know when a journalist will be around, or someone with a camera. He forgets those lessons sometimes. He forgets them whenever the spotlight isn't on him. He hands the bag to the first of Cherry's fangirls he comes across that night. He shouldn't do this. Not when he said he wouldn't. Not when no one's watching, which means no one's judging or expecting anything. If he does this, it'll be like turning on the spotlight himself. Utako-san holds the marshmallows stiffly and looks from them to Mia several times. "I'm not going to eat them. They're bad for me," Mia says. "But all of you should share them or whatever." At that, she finally smiles. "Thank you. I didn't get them for you." "Yes, but you could have given them to someone else, so thank you." Mia squirms. He thinks she knows that he is lying. He stands there, wanting both to leave and stay there, with one of these girls that wonder out loud if he had a good day when he's close enough to hear them.
"Can I ask you something?"
"You just did," Mia says, unimpressed. Utako-san doesn't acknowledge that.
"Your hoodie's from the Kitty Cat Sugar Rush Adventure, isn't it?"
Mia tries not to get excited at the topic. Adults try to make small talk all the time, but they rarely know more than the basics.
"Yeah."
Utako-san lights up.
"Did you get the update? The one with the tangerine witch?"
"It came out in October," Mia says. "Of course I did."
Okay, don't get mad,"
Utako-san says, waving a hand and grinning.
"I was so excited when it came out."
"Me too." It slips out of Mia before he can stop himself. It's just that no one talks to him about anything besides skating, and he wishes he could have someone to tell about all these update things that don't get him any interviews or attention.
"It's so good. I keep thinking about it. You finished it, right? You defeated her? It's not a spoiler if I talked about it."
"Yeah, I got through it." Mia cuts her off. And then, because he wants to brag, he adds, "In the first month." He didn't even need to look up how to win.
"Wow,"
Utako-san says, and it sounds genuine, even though it has nothing to do with Mia skating. It's only a conversation about a game.
I didn't get her until Christmas, and only out of luck. One of my attacks missed and hit her portrait. Mia raised an eyebrow. It took you 2 months to figure out that her heart wasn't in her chest. I know, she grimaces. Embarrassing. Yeah, she brought up her portrait all the time, Mia says, judging. She obviously wanted the player to pay attention to it. Don't remind me, Utako-san says, shaking her head and waving her hands, not sounding embarrassed in the slightest. Her expression softens. I felt so dumb when I realized, but also that's why it's such a clever thing. Mia frowns. I thought it was sad. Utako-san tilted her head, the same way the tangerine witch did in the game. Sad? Mia nods. The whole time, she gives you everything you need to defeat her. She puts the necessary weapons right at the door of her lair, and she immediately tells you that the only way to end her is by finding her heart, and then she never shuts up about her portrait. Yeah, I get what you mean, Utako-san says softly, pensively. She's very lonely, isn't she? One look at her and you can tell she wants a friend. A friend? She tells the player how to kill her. Mia didn't mean to raise his voice. But that's an option, Utako-san says, infuriatingly calm. You know, you can choose not to destroy her heart, right? Mia hesitates. Yeah. Utako-san nods. What did you do with her heart? I put it in my inventory.
I left it where it was, Mia admits. Tangerine witch doesn't really have anything to do with the NPCs. He mumbles, I'm waiting for them to release something that lets us fix her heart.
Have you been back to her lair since you fought her?
Mia shakes his head.
You should. I've done it. She gives you healing items and holds tea parties. It's very cute.
Utako-san looks at him kindly. It's like Misaki's voice when she wonders aloud about his happiness. It makes Mia feel his age. It's horrible and humiliating. He takes a step back, then another one. Utako-san's expression changes into concern.
You're weird. He says, you're all weird.
He turns around and runs, vowing to stay as far away as possible from Cherry Blossom's fangirls. Reader's notes. That's it for my chapter. I'm passing it on over to Nonplussed. If you liked this story, please consider going back and leaving kudos and comments for the original author on AO3. Thanks for listening.